the signs at the time of death. So what signs come to the mind of a person who is about to die? Now there are three signs mentioned here, and these three you met in the third chapter also. So on page 138, they are mentioned in the notes and in the guide. So they are kama nimitta and gati nimitta. So now the manual describes in some detail how they manifest themselves in the mind of a dying person. Now, in the case of those who are about to die, at the time of death, that means just before death consciousness arises, just before death comes, one of the following presents itself according to circumstances through any of the six sense doors. So one of the following means one of karma or sign of karma or sign of destination. So one of them present itself to the mind of a dying person, and it is according to circumstances. That means, as the case may be, sometimes the karma will manifest itself, sometimes it is karma nimitta that will come to his mind, or sometimes it is a sign of destination. And in one commentary, it is stated that according to circumstances mean for those who will not be reborn, for arahants, then these three will not manifest to the minds of them. So for them, other objects such as mind and matter, which they are in the habit of taking as object for their meditation, may appear to their mind. So that is why here it is said according to circumstances. So you can understand this in two ways. The first is karma will come, or it will be a sign of karma, or it will be a sign of destination that will come to his mind. The second explanation is according to circumstances mean according to individuals, that means those who are not to be reborn. So for them, these karma and others will not appear to their minds, but the other mind and matter which they are in the habit of taking as objects for their meditation. So any one of the following three will present itself to the mind of a dying person, and they present themselves or they become manifest through the force or power of karma. Because of the power of karma, that is going to give rebirth. As result, these become manifest to the mind of a dying person. Now the first one is called karma. Now you know what karma is. Karma, that is to produce rebirth linking in the next existence. So the karma which is to give result, to produce rebirth. So that karma may come to his mind. So he may remember this karma clearly in his mind, as though he were doing that karma right at that moment. So that karma can be the wholesome karma as well as unwholesome karma. So whether it is wholesome or unwholesome, this karma will manifest itself to his mind. Sometimes it is not the karma itself, but the sign of karma will manifest to his mind. Now, so the sign of karma means the six kinds of objects, visible object, audible object, and so on, six kinds of objects that had been apprehended previously at the time of performing the karma. When he did that karma, there are some things that are involved, not just that karma, but to perform that karma, there must be some other things as well. And so those things may appear to his mind, or something that was instrumental in performing the karma. So not the karma itself, but those that are instrumental in performing that karma. So that is called sign of karma. Here, that had been apprehended previously means the primary object. And that was instrumental in performing the karma means a secondary object. For example, it is a dana of building a monastery. Then the monastery itself is one that had been apprehended previously. And when a person builds a monastery, and he will also offer other requisites to the monks, like offering food, offering robes, and so on. So those things are the secondary objects. So one of these two may appear or may become manifest to his mind. That means he will remember these things. He will even see, if it is right at the moment he is doing, he can see the objects himself, or he may see them in his mind. Or if it is a stupa that is erected, then the stupa itself is the main object, and offerings made to the stupa like water, food, flowers, and incense or lights are secondary objects. They may come to his mind. Or if it is fishing or hunting, then the fish and the animals hunted are main objects, and the weapons or nets and others used in hunting them are the secondary objects. So there are primary objects and secondary objects of the sign of karma. So one of them will appear in his mind or will present itself to his mind. So that is a sign of karma. In Pali, it is called karma nimitta. And the third is the sign of destiny. Sign of destiny means sign of destination. Destination means the life into which he is going to be reborn. So the immediate next life. So that is called destination. The sign of destination means the sign of that life. If you are going to be reborn as a human being, then the walls of the mother's womb may appear, say, to him. And also the things that he will use as a human being may appear to him. If a person is going to be reborn in hell, then hell itself is one primary object, and then hellfire, hell wardens, dogs, vultures, and so on are the secondary objects. If a person is going to be reborn in the celestial worlds, there the celestial worlds, celestial mansions are the primary objects, and the celestial nymphs, gardens, and other wishing trees, and so on. So they are the secondary objects. They will appear to his mind. If a person is going to be reborn as an animal, then he will see the forest or the hills, and also he will see the bushes and other small trees as secondary objects. So when these appear to his mind, that means he is going to be reborn in those realms or in those existences. Now, yesterday I told you about the father of that arahant. So when he was about to die, first he saw dogs running after him, and so that is a sign of hell. So he's going to be reborn in hell. And then later on he saw celestial mansions and celestial dancers and so on. So it changed. So these are the sign called sign of destination. So to a man who is about to die, one of these become evident in his mind. Sometimes karma, or the sign of karma, or the sign of destiny. And they appear to his mind by the power of the karma which is going to give rebirth. Now, after that, taking that very object thus presented to his mind, the stream of consciousness continually flows. That means the moments of consciousness arise in accordance with the karma that is to be matured, whether pure or corrupted. So, taking that object, there will arise in his mind the stream of consciousness or the flow of consciousness. And that stream of consciousness may be pure or it may be corrupted. That means, if the karma is a kusala karma, that is to give results, then his stream of consciousness is pure. If it is the akusala karma that is going to give results, then his stream of consciousness is corrupted. And in conformity with the state into which one is to be reborn, it flows continually, mostly inclining towards that state. I want you to follow with the book. Now, I place mostly in front of inclining. Mostly inclining towards that state. So when a person is about to die, his mind is inclined towards the life or towards the existence which he is going to be reborn. It is like when you have to go to a place, before going there, your mind is inclined towards that place. So in the same way, now the mind of a dying person inclines towards that state, that means that existence, that life, the future one. Now, it is for those who die peacefully and natural death. It is said that when you kill a fly doing like this, it will get no chance to have this flow of or this stream of consciousness leisurely. Because the moment you hit it, it dies. So there are only a very, very few thought processes arise and disappear, and then it dies. So in that case, in the case of a fly who is killed by being hit by something, their minds will not incline towards the state that is to be reborn. So that is why we say mostly inclining towards that state. Sometimes it may not incline towards that state for those who die sudden death. Or that rebirth productive karma presents itself to a sense door in the way of renewing. Now this is one way of karma presenting itself to his mind. So now a person experiences that karma again as though he were performing that karma right at that time. So vividly does that karma appear to his mind. Now, to one who is on the verge of death, either at the end of a cognitive process consciousness or at the dissolution of mind continuum, the death consciousness, the consummation of the present life arises and ceases in the way of death. Now death occurs. So to one who is on the verge of death, who is close to death, either at the end of a cognitive process consciousness or at the dissolution of life continuum, the death consciousness arises and ceases by way of dying. Now you need to have the diagram of dying thought process to understand this. There's a diagram in the book as well as in the handout. I think the last of the handout for fifth chapter. So there, a death and relinking thought process taking the present visible object is given. Now there are many types of death relinking thought processes. This is only one of them. Now here you see the let us begin with PT. PT means Patisandhi, rebirth, BH means Bhavanga, and A means Atita Bhavanga or past Bhavanga, C means vibrating Bhavanga, U means arrest Bhavanga. So A, C, and U are all Bhavangas. And then P, five sense door adverting. And CK, seeing consciousness. S, receiving consciousness. ST, investigating consciousness. V, determining consciousness. And the J's, Javana consciousness. And CU, Chuti, death consciousness. So in this thought process, and then again PT and so on. So here, Chuti comes after the fifth Javana. So in such a thought process, Javanas run only five times and not seven times as normal. Because it is just close to death, or it is almost death. So the person is very weak. When the body is very, very weak, the mind that has to take that body as a locus is also weak. So since it is weak, Javanas cannot run seven times. So Javana runs only for five times. And after the Javana, there is Chuti, right? So in the text, in the manual, it is said, either at the end of a cognitive process consciousness. Now, Bhavangas are not cognitive process consciousness. Bhavangas are called process-free or door-free consciousness. So, cognitive process consciousness means those that arise in the thought process excluding the Bhavangas. So, from sense door adverting until the fifth Javana are called cognitive process consciousness. So I want to put the word consciousness after process. So Chuti or death can come after Javana or at the dissolution of life continuum. That means sometimes after Javana there may be Bhavanga, and after Bhavanga there may be Chuti or death. So in that case, death comes at the dissolution of life continuum. So there are different kinds of death relinking thought processes. So death can come after cognitive process consciousness, or it can come after Bhavanga, life continuum. immediately after death, death consciousness. Or the death consciousness has ceased, a rebirth linking consciousness arises and is established in the subsequent existence. So, in this thought process, immediately after CU2D, you find PT, Patisandhi, rebirth. So, immediately after death, there is rebirth. So, in order to emphasize this, the manual says, immediately after that death consciousness has ceased, a rebirth thinking consciousness arises and is established in the subsequent existence. So by this, the author of the manual wants us to understand that between death and rebirth, there is nothing intervening. And rebirth arises, and when it arises, it is already in a new life. So there are some people who think that rebirth consciousness, that there are three moments of rebirth consciousness, right? So sub-moments of rebirth consciousness. So there are some people who think that the arising moment of rebirth consciousness may belong to past life. And then only when during the present moment or dying moment is it in the new life. So in order to refute such understanding or misunderstanding, the author said, rebirth linking consciousness arises and is established in the subsequent life. That means as soon as it arises, it is already in a new life. So here we have two lives here, life one and life two. We can call life one old life and life two new life. So in this thought process, we see that Patisandhi immediately follows death, Chuti. So there is no time gap between death in one life, life number one, and Patisandhi or rebirth in next life, life number two. So there may be distance between these two. One may die here and be reborn in the Deva world or in the Brahma world. So there may be thousands of miles of distance intervening between death and rebirth. But as to time, there is no time gap. Immediately after death, rebirth arises. So there is no such thing intervening between death and rebirth. Now, Theravada Buddhism does not accept that there is an interim life between, let us say here, life number one and life number two. Now, many people believe that way. When a person dies, then he is reborn as a ghost for 7 days or 49 days, right? And he may be roaming about near his house, and then only after the end of 7 days or 49 days, as the case may be, is that person reborn in a new life. So that is called in Pali antara bhava. So even among the Buddhists, because there are many Buddhist sects, so even among the Buddhists, some Buddhist sects believe that there is this interim life between two lives. But Theravada Buddhism does not accept that. So in order to show that there is no such thing as an interim period between death in one life and rebirth in another, the author here says, the rebirth-linking consciousness arises and is immediately established in the subsequent life. And also, immediately after that has ceased, immediately after the death consciousness has ceased, there is rebirth consciousness. Now I want to use Pali words more. I want to make you more familiar with Pali words. But sometimes I think that you may not be familiar with the Pali word, so I refer to the English. So immediately after death consciousness has ceased, rebirth-linging consciousness arises. When it arises, it is already in the new life, life number two here. So that we must understand clearly. And as I said, Theravada Buddhism does not accept the interim life between two lives. So for Theravada Buddhists, that what they call interim life must be one separate life. We do not call it an interim life, but that is just one life. Suppose if a person dies and is reborn as a ghost. So that rebirth as a ghost is one separate rebirth, not just something like a buffer zone between two lives. So we take that also as a separate life. So in this case, there are three lives. Now this life, and then life as a ghost, and then again reborn as the human being or as a deva. So in order to show that there is no interim life, the author says, immediately after death has ceased, a rebirth-linking consciousness arises. And when it arises, it is already in the new life. Now, here we must understand that rebirth consciousness, Patisandhi, is not a result of death consciousness. That is very important. This when I say Patisandhi, you understand, right? So this rebirth is the result of karma in the past. There is some karma in the past, and that karma, a productive karma, produces this rebirth. And when that past karma produces the rebirth, the karma at the jhana moments here support that karma. So what produces the rebirth is the karma in the past, and we can call them the jhanas as present karma. So karma at these five jhana moments support that productive karma. And so the rebirth is produced. So rebirth is not caused by or not the result of even the jhana moments. It is the result of karma in the past. And that is one thing. Now, after death, rebirth immediately follows. So, we can say that rebirth is conditioned by death. And when we say conditioned by death, we do not mean produced by death. We mean just death consciousness disappears so that rebirth consciousness can arise. So, that kind of condition is called proximity condition in the 24 causal relations taught in the 7th book of Abhidhamma Pathana. In that sense, death conditions rebirth. But here, conditions means just to give place to another chitta. If death conditions does not disappear, then rebirth cannot arise. So in that sense, rebirth is conditioned by death consciousness. But it does not mean that rebirth is produced by death consciousness. That also we must understand. So the rebirth is the product of or result of the karma in the past. And when The productive karma gives this rebirth as result. The karma at the jhavana moments, five jhavana moments, support that karma. So the karma at the five jhavana moments are supportive karma, and the karma in the past that produces rebirth is the productive karma. So you know that productive karma, supportive karma, obstructive karma, and what is the other one? Destructive karma. So here we have two karmas, productive karma and supportive karma. So they together, let us say, produce the rebirth. Immediately after rebirth, there are 16 moments of bhavanga. It is not mentioned in the manual. So 16 moments of bhavanga. After 16 moments of bhavanga, there is one thought process. And that thought process begins with M, Manodvara Vajana, mind or adverting. And then there are seven jhavanas. And then bhavanga again. So this is one example of death relinking thought process. So there are many, many others. But even this one thought process is not easy to understand. Now here, we must understand also what objects the individual types of consciousness take in this thought process. Now, the first patisandhi, that means patisandhi of this life, let us say. So, that patisandhi may have taken kama, k, or kama nimitta, kn, or gati nimitta, gn, as object. One of these. Since one of these is the object of the patisandhi or relinking at the left end of the diagram, BH also takes that as object. And A, C, and U are also bhavangas, right? First bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, and arrest bhavanga. So they are also bhavanga. So they take the same object as the patisandhi at the beginning. There's an equal sign, meaning their object is also K or KN or GN on the left. Now, when this thought process arises, there is a visible object. Suppose a dying man is seeing some things that are involved in doing the act. So there is a seeing, something to be seen, or a visible object. So that visible object arises here after the bhavanga, or that visible object arises together with the atita bhavanga, the past bhavanga. Although it arises there, past bhavanga does not take it as an object, because it must take the K or KN or GN. And then the vibrating bhavanga and arrest bhavanga also do not take that present visible object as object, because they must take the object of the patisandhi before them, and so they must take one of the three K, KN or GN. But P, adverting towards the object. So P takes the present visible object as object. And then CKS, SD, or under the fifth J takes that present object as object. So it is very precise there. So again, let us start from the beginning. So the first PT takes K or KN or GN as object. Then the bhavangas, including past bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga and rest bhavanga take the same key or kn or gn as object. Now when the past bhavanga arises, present visible object also arises. So they arise at the same time. But the bhavangas, the three bhavangas, do not take that present visible object as object. So they take, as usual, the kama or kama nimitta or gandhi nimitta as object. Now, turning towards the object, five sense door adverting. From that moment, the mind takes the present visible object as object. And that object is here kama nimitta. And then the other chaitas following until the fifth javana take the present visible object as object. Then what about jyoti? What about dead consciousness? What does it take? It must take the same key or kn or gn that is taken by the rebirth at the beginning of life one. Then there is patisani in life two. Rebirth consciousness. That rebirth consciousness takes the present visible object as object. That means that present visible object outlives this life. It may go on to next life. At jyoti, a person dies, so he is no more. Now at patisandhi, it is a new life. Although it is a new life, the present visible object is still existing because it has not reached the 17th thought moment. So the rebirth in life too takes present visible object as object. But still there are two more moments to fill the 17th moment. So the bhavanga, first bhavanga and second bhavanga after the rebirth also take that present visible object as object. When the process reaches the third bhavanga, present visible object ceases, disappears. So at the moment of third bhavanga, it has become past. So bhavanga 3 takes the same kama nimitta, the present visible object, but now it is past. So you may write past after kn, above the BH3. It is the same kn which was present before its arising. But when it arises, it has already disappeared. So it has become a past object. And since bhavanga must take the object of patisandhi, rebirth, it takes that kn as object, which is now past. And then all through life too, whenever bhavangas arise, they must take this past kama nimitta as object. And then when death occurs at the end of this life too, that death must take this kn past as object. After the patisandhi, there are 16 bhavangas and then they are followed by one thought process. Now, in that thought process, there are mind door adverting and seven javanas. What do they take as object? Now, they take the relinking citta, cetasikas and rupa born of karma as object. That means they take the patisandhi as object. They take the rebirth as object. Rebirth in life too as object. And it is said that the javanas are always accompanied by lobha. Because whenever, in whatever life a being is born, he is always attached to it. Whether it is a life as a human being, life as a celestial being, or life in hell. But at that very moment, attachment to that life occurs. So this thought process The process that immediately followed the 16th Bhavanga takes the rebirth, which consists of relinking citta, chetasikas, and rupa born of karma. So they are the object of this thought process, beginning with mind or adverting. So that is why we say we begin our life with attachment. Everybody, every being begins its life with attachment. So, and then in life we experience many kinds of thought processes. So it is important that we understand this thought process clearly. Now, the rebirth, bhavanga, and death in life one. Take KKN or GN as shown above the Bodhisandhi at the beginning as object. But the rebirth of life two takes another kind of Hiyakama Nimitta, KN. So the object of rebirth in life two and object of rebirth in life one are different. Although they are the same kind, they must be kama or kama nimitta or gati nimitta. But although the type of object is the same, they are individually different. Let us say the key of the rebirth in first life, life number one, may be, say, akusala kama. But the object of the rebirth in life too may be kusala kama, something like that. So the object of rebirth at the beginning of each life is different from the object of the rebirth, bhavanga, and death of previous lives. So that is why there is always a new object for a rebirth in the beginning of every life. Now, death can arise after the dissolution of life continuum. So that means after the jivanas, there can arise registering dadaramana also. Suppose there arise two dadaramanas. And after dadaramanas, there arise one bhavanga, let us say. So in that case, two dadaramanas, one and two bhavangas, in that case, the rebirth will be out of the 17 thought moments, right? Therefore, the object of rebirth in life too can be present or it can be past. So if death occurs after two moments of jhavana and after two moments of bhavanga, then the rebirth in life number two will take the past kama nimitta. So the object of patisandhi in life too can be present, like in this diagram, or it can be past if we take the death to arise after the dadaramana and bhavanga. And when patisandhi arises in a new life, in the book it is said, either supported by the heart base or baseless. That means if one is reborn as a human being, as a deva, as a brahma, as a form brahma, then it will have a heart base. If the rebirth is in the arupa vajra world, then it will have no base. So it is either supported by the heart base or baseless. And it is generated by a volition formation that is enveloped by latent ignorance and rooted in latent craving. Now, the rebirth is generated by karma, right? So here, volitional formation means karma. So rebirth is generated by karma. And that karma is enveloped by latent ignorance and rooted in latent craving as is appropriate. I want to move as is appropriate after in latent craving. Now that means you need to understand patthana here. Suppose there is karma. So when we acquire karma, this karma may be accompanied by ignorance and craving. These two are the basis for us to acquire karma. If we do not have ignorance and craving, we will not acquire karma. Whatever we do will be just doing like those of the arahants. So whenever we do a karma, this karma is enveloped by latent ignorance and rooted in latent craving. Now, this can mean two things. The karma may be accompanied by ignorance and craving, or it is not accompanied by ignorance and craving, but it is influenced by the ignorance and craving. For example, an unwholesome karma. If it is an unwholesome karma, it will be enveloped by ignorance, right? Ignorance always accompanies akusala karma. And if the akusala is desiring something, the attachment to something, then it will be rooted in latent craving also. But if it is a kusala karma, kusala karma is not accompanied by ignorance or craving, because ignorance and craving are unwholesome and kusala is wholesome. Wholesome and unwholesome cannot arise at the same time, at the same moment. So regarding kusala karma, ignorance and craving are not concomitant, but they influence. Because of ignorance and craving, we do punya, we do kusala. So that is what is meant by as is appropriate. So the rebirth is generated by or produced by volition formation or karma that is concomitant with ignorance and craving, or that is influenced by ignorance and craving. Because of ignorance, we do kusala. Those who want to criticize us say, you say that because of ignorance you do kusala. That means, ignorance means you are a fool. You are ignorant and so you are foolish. So because you are foolish, you do kusala. So there are three things here, right? Karma, ignorance, and craving. This, our teachers explain in this way. Suppose a man was caught by three men, and one man blindfolds him, and the other man turns him to a, what you call, precipice, and the third man push him down into the precipice. So ignorance is like the one who blindfolds. Because we are ignorant, we do not know the true nature of things. And so when we are blinded by ignorance, we think to be reborn as a human is a good, to be reborn as celestial being is good and so on. So we turn towards that life, or we incline towards that life. So that is the work of tanha, or craving. And then karma comes and pushes us down precipice. So there are these three things producing rebirth: ignorance, craving, and karma. Ignorance blinds us, and craving make us turn to the life existence, and then karma push us down into another life. So the rebirth consciousness, or rebirth linking consciousness, is generated by karma, so that is enveloped by latent ignorance and rooted in latent craving. That rebirth linking consciousness, so called because it links together the two consecutive existences. Now in Pali it is called Patisandhi. Patisandhi means joining two lives. So it is called Patisandhi because it links together the two lives, two consecutive lives. And it is conjoined with its mental adjuncts. This is no strange thing. Every consciousness is accompanied by mental factors. So the rebirth consciousness is accompanied by mental factors. So it is conjoined with its mental adjuncts. And acts as the forerunner to the cognizant states. Mind is a forerunner of all mental states, Buddha said in Dhammapada. So the rebirth consciousness arises, and mental factors also arise at the same moment. And rebirth consciousness acts as the forerunner. The forerunner means not that rebirth consciousness arises first and then mental states arise later. It means rebirth consciousness is a leader, or the chief of the mental states that arise together as their locus of foundation. That it is called forerunner not because it runs in front of the mental factors, but because it is the foundation depending on which the mental states or chetasikas arise. So the rebirth consciousness that is said to arise immediately after death is generated by karma. And that karma is accompanied by or influenced by ignorance and craving. And that consciousness is called relinking, or in Pali Patisandhi, because it joins together the two consecutive existences. And as it is its nature, it is accompanied by chetasikas or mental factors. Although they arise together, this cheta is their chief or their leader, because without this cheta, the other mental states or chetasikas cannot arise. Now, let us see at chutti and patisandhi again. We say that a person dies here and he is reborn in the next life, reborn as a human being or reborn as an animal or whatever. So we are saying this as though something from this life moves to another life. Now he is here, he dies, and then he is reborn there. Now this we say because there is no other way to say, to explain this. We have to use this conventional language. Even Buddha said, I was Hamid Sumira for incalculable and 100,000 eons ago, and then the same Sumira is now me, or something like that. But according to the teachings of Abhidhamma, nothing moves from this life to another life. Nothing goes from this life to another life. So whatever arises in the next life are newly produced mind and matter. Not that mind from this life goes over to that life, or material properties from this life go over to that life. So whatever arises in the next life, say relinking Chaita, Chaitasika and Rupa born of karma, are new things, not any one of the old Nama and Rupa from the life one going over to the new life, life two. That also we must understand. So, in fact, even before death, even we are living, at every moment, there is a new pair of Nama and Rupa arising and disappearing. Like the movie picture I explained yesterday. So, even while living, at every moment, there are new Nama and Rupa arising and disappearing. So how can Nama and Rupa from this life move to or go over to the next life? So they arise here and they cease here. And in the next life, new Nama and Rupa are produced. Although they are new, they have a kind of connection with the previous life. Because rebirth in life two is the result of karma in life one. So they have this connection as cause and effect. That is why there is the order of giving results to a person belonging to the same continuity. That means my karma give results to me and not to you, and your karma gives your result to you and not to me. Because although at every moment we are different, there is a kind of continuity going on. So it is important to understand this, because if we do not understand properly, we can fall into one of the two wrong views. One view is the life goes on, mind and matter goes on. So that is the eternity view. Or everything is finished at Judy, and next life is just a new life, which is not connected whatsoever with the past life. So if we take that way, we fall into another wrong view called annihilation view. So we must steer properly between these two extremes. So this is explained by the similes of an echo. You shout into a cave, and then the echo comes back to you. And the echo is not your original voice. But without your original voice, there would have been no echo. So in the same way, here also, what is reborn there is not what dies here. But it is not totally disconnected, or not totally new from the past life. So one simile is that echo, and another simile is a lamp. So you light your lamp from another lamp, then your lamp gets the light. So that light is not the same light as the other lamp, but you get the light not without the lamp of the other person. So it is neither one nor the other. And also it is explained by impression of the seal. So when you put a stamp here, the impression, let's say on the paper, the impression on the paper is not the seal itself, but the impression is there, not without this seal. So this is the simile is given in our books. But one of my brother monks suggested that what about giving the facts as a simile for this rebirth? It's very good. You send a fact from here, and then the other person receives the facts. This is not the same sheet of paper he receives. And he has the facts because you send the facts to him. So it is something like that. It may not coincide the 100%, but I think it is also a good example. So the formula we use is neither he nor another. Na cha so, na cha anyo. So that means neither he nor another. The one who is reborn is neither the old person or a totally new person. Because there is this continuity as cause and effect, we belong to the same continuity. So that is very important. So in Abhidhamma, we use two methods at least to understand this. Law of identity and law of diversity. They are two different things going opposite to each other. But we combine these two. Neither identical nor totally new. So, according to law of diversity, at every moment, they are different. At every moment, they arise and they disappear. But according to the law of identity, there is some kind of identity going on through these different arising and disappearing of mind and matter. So when we combine these two, we come to the right view that neither the person who is reborn there is neither he nor another person. So that is very important, but we have not finished with the process yet. So we'll continue it tomorrow.